want to welcome all of you all today. New Life for the Nations, where God is honored, Jesus is exalted, and the Word is the first and final authority for the life of the believer. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor's going to come up and finish opening the service in a minute. It's good to have our pastors back. Amen. They are the healed of the Lord. Amen. Make sure you give the Sunday handout. All the know is in there, and what you don't know, you can ask me. Miss Martha, I want to encourage you, if you've not been to one of her Bible studies, then you have missed it. So this is your other opportunity to come. She's an anointed teacher of God that can just open the Word up to understanding. And so she's going to be starting a new teaching this coming Wednesday night. And so I encourage you to come and be part of that, about an hour, maybe a little over an hour, and just be encouraged with this Bible teaching. And coming in March, this is March, amen, the third month. I won't go into the number three and the biblical meaning of it, but if you get a chance, Google it and find out. But Jim and Connie have started a ministry outreach. For those of you who know Jim and Connie, they're not novices. They're seasoned Christians, seasoned ministers with the gospel. And they've started an outreach called the Alliance Reformers and Pioneers. And in the Sunday handout, it tells you all about it. And it's for pastors and the fivefold ministry. And I want to encourage everybody that's part of New Life to come that day anyway. You may not know, you know, what you're supposed to do, and if you come to this meeting, it may just like, oh yeah, that's what I'm called. So, you know, they're coming, and then Jerry Clifton's coming all the way from Missouri. They're part of the Alliance, and they've got some other pastors that are coming with them. So we want you to come today and be part of this. And what it is, it's just getting pastors and those in the fivefold ministry together to be encouraged and to lean up on each other. Amen. So I want you to come and be part of that this coming March the 30th at 12. And there's a sign-up sheet on the back table for food. We'll be serving lunch. And it's going to be good. Going to be good. I just feel there's a stirring in the atmosphere with this season that we're in. And I encourage you not to be looking around, but to look up. Because the Bible says that's where your help comes from. Amen. So I don't want to talk too much or I'll get to preaching. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. What are we going to do on that Sunday? Oh, tag team? Yeah, we're going to be tag teaming that Sunday. Jim and Connie will be here Sunday morning, and Jerry and Clifton will be here, and Pastor will be here, so we're just all going to tag team, and so just come for a Holy Ghost blowout. Amen. Pastor Jerry.
Me. Make sure I got a voice. Sometimes I don't want to cooperate, but it sounds all right this morning. Greetings. I am glad to be back. I'm glad to see every one of you this morning. Now, I'm real quickly here, and my wife may need to be a resource here because some of the things I don't quite remember real well. But I just want to share something with you, and I'll promise I'll get this done. And
then I'm supposed to make sure he tells it right.
That's pretty much true. Well, for the last few weeks, maybe a couple of months, I had this pain in my head. I don't have it now, And I would tell Laverne, it doesn't feel like a headache. It feels like a pain. You know, like not where you got a headache from something like a fever, but like you got a pain in your head where somebody hits you with something. And I'd say, well, you know, maybe it's sinus and the weather was like it was and everything like that. So we were going along. Then on Valentine's morning, I got up and the pain was so bad. She said, I'm taking you to the emergency room. So we went over to Taylor County, told them what the situation was. They immediately did a CAT scan, came back and said, you got to go to Louisville. Something in there that's not supposed to be there. And so they stat-flied to me in a helicopter. I've been in a helicopter twice. The first time I didn't remember because I was dead or had just come back to life. Didn't remember a thing about it. I remember that helicopter trip the other day. Not knowing about it is much better than knowing it. They had a headwind or crosswind or something, and it was like this all the way up there. But anyway, they got me there. They did a CAT scan there, and took me to Brownsboro Norton's, which is the neurological center for the Norton group, and did a CAT scan. And then everybody got in on the act. The house doctor, they called in when they got the report from the blood work down here in Taylor County. They called in an infectious disease doctor because they found an infection. Then because of the nature of what they saw on their CAT scan, oncology was called in.
Surgeon was called in.
Mike on.
Hello, I just didn't have it up. Yeah.
And then a neurological surgeon. And so they came in the room and they shared, and if I get a little emotional, you just have to forgive me. They came in the room and what did they tell you?
Well, they came in the room and They put the screen up there and showed us what the CAT scan said, and the neurological surgeon said, this is what we see. He said, there's a mass there. And said, we've checking all of his records and everything. Said, he is not a candidate because of his medical condition for surgery. So what we need to do is we need to discharge him tomorrow, get him back here and do a PET scan. Insurance won't do it unless it's outpatient. And said, then we'll go from there. And that was the report they gave us. It wasn't a good report. And it was as if, you know, somebody just tried to knock the wind out of you. And in the meantime, they had given him a steroid, and it was relieving the pain. He was quiet there for a while, and Scott and Miriam were there, and they heard all the report. My brother was there, and everybody was shaken. And they went on to the motel later. And at one point then, Jerry, he roused up. And he said, Laverne, he was still overwhelmed with that report. And we share this with you all.
I felt like the devil had kicked my feet right out from under me, and I was flat on my back.
And he said, his words were, Laverne, I don't think right now I can beat this one. I'm making plans to be with Jesus. And I never said anything. I let him talk. He said, I want you to call the kids back over here. So I roused them up, and he said, I want to talk to all my grandkids. He was making plans to go home. I still never said anything, and it was a very, very, and he was having the thoughts and all kinds of stuff going on in his head. And Scott and Miriam came back over, and it was a very difficult time, very difficult. But let me regress just a little bit, because when we left Campbellsville, I asked the Lord for a word. I said, God, I need to know what I'm standing on. He gave me Psalm 103, 1 to 5. And I knew that was in there, but that's never been a word that I've stood on. But I said, okay, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all your benefits. Who does what? Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your... And who redeems your life from destruction? I said, okay. He said, now, look at that. Redeems your life from destruction. I said, okay, that's what I'll stand on. So everybody that I asked to pray, I sent that word out. Anyway, so during this time, Jan Morton was at the hospital. She came over. Connie Childs had called her. Said, Jan, you need to get up there. And she was out in the hallway, and finally she went home. And in the meantime, we had a nurse there that night that we'd already been talking about the Lord and sharing a little bit of things that God had already done in our lives. And she heard him. She heard, and she picked up everything that was going on. And she turned around after everybody left. She said, where are you in all this? She looked right at me. I said, well, I know what the word says, but I'm waiting on him. I have to wait and see what he's doing. Do you understand why I said that? It wasn't like he didn't know what was going on and I was going to have to stand. And so she looked at me. She went over to shut the doors. Of course, it was intensive care, all glass. Pull that curtain around. Grabbed our hands. Combined all three of them, and I tell you what, I'll call her anytime to pray for me. It's just like Moses needed somebody to lift his arms when he got weary. Jerry was weary. It's been a lot of battles since 2010. And I sensed that, and so we left it at that. She finished, went on. I went on. And then he woke up the next morning. And he woke up and looked at me. I didn't know what was going to come out of his mouth. I think it surprised him that he lived through the night. You know? And he woke up, he looked at me, and he said, I'm alive. I said, yes, you're alive. He said, I'm not going to die. And the Lord gave him the scripture that's in the bulletin. Go, you tell it. You pick it up. And
you just listen. Well, like I said, I was feeling like I had been pushed down in the corner of the basement, and there was a big giant standing there with them big clubs, you know, with those spikes in it, and he was just getting ready to lay me out. I woke up the next morning, and in my ear, in my heart, somewhere, I don't think it was audible. Might as well have been. God reminded me of something. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, do you remember what Paul told Timothy? Paul told Timothy that if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself nor his word. And then all of a sudden that just came alive. Your responsibility is not to climb out of here yourself. Your responsibility is to trust me. And when your faith won't rise up to the situation, if you think that's what the case is, just remember, if you're faithless, I'm still faithful. I made you a promise. And I'm faithful to that promise. And then, believe it or not, he told me to go to another scripture. You won't have to turn there to see it, because it's Hebrews 13:5.
It's on the top page of your bulletin there.
And we didn't do this.
No, we didn't coordinate this.
For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. And that just exploded within me after him giving me the scripture from Hebrew, from Timothy, where he said, if you're faithless, he remains faithful. He's the one made the covenant. You and I just got into it. We just accepted it by faith and stepped into the covenant that God gave through Jesus Christ at Calvary. And I felt life coming back.
Hope.
Hope. I'll beat this thing. God's going to be with me. And you know what he told me? He said, you got to understand, son, I'm not in this hole for you to get me out. I'm in this hole to get you out.
Amen. You know, unless you understand the grace of God, that I know, and we minister it, and we minister it. If you're in a situation that you come into a storm, and it just kind of knocks you down, unless you understand that God says, don't worry about it. I'm always there whether you can believe me or not. Do you understand me? There comes times in your life, Libby, that your circumstances look so bad you don't see a way out. God says, that's okay, Libby. I know how to do it. He says, I know how to do it, Libby. Okay? Whatever it is, he will do it. When you understand God's love, that just because in a moment that we were down, he didn't say, okay, I'm going to give you what you're believing right now, because we didn't really believe it. It's just that our hope, see, faith without hope doesn't work. Hope is the thing that says, yeah, I see it. Hope's got to be restored in your life to see what God's got for you. Well, anyway, that morning I got a text from Jan. She said, Laverne, said I went back and I read that scripture from Psalm 103 and said that verse that you kept saying that for some reason is it, I've redeemed you from destruction. She said, I read it in the Amplified and it says, I've redeemed you from the pit. And in some places it says of corruption. She says, you know what that is in medical terms? It's infection. I've redeemed you. Well, at this point, infection wasn't involved in anything. I said, okay. Well, then I get a message from Jerry Coulter. She said, Laverne, our church was praying last night, and the Lord showed me that Jerry's tired. But said he's going to give him a word or a vision or a dream. And said, let me know what all's going on. Well, that happened. And then, so we're going to check out and go home. They already had us planned to come down that next Wednesday for a PET scan. House doctor comes and says, wait a minute, you're not going anywhere. Said, we found infection in his blood. Okay, so you're staying. So the infectious disease doctor is looking at it that in the natural, the good possibility that what they were seeing was an abscess because they found infection, vegetation on a valve, and it looked like it was rotating and flipping, you in the medical know, the infection to where it would spread in the first place it goes is to the brain. So we have been being treated, and I want to say that we know, regardless, God has redeemed him from destruction. So we're there getting all the IVs and all that. This lady comes in cleaning 2 or 3 days later. I tell you what, you know, God sends you gifts. Anyway, she's in there cleaning and she's walking around doing this. Thank you, Jesus. I said, oh, I got another one. So we get to talking about the Lord. We get to sharing. She want to know, you know, what we're doing there. And I said, well, God's going to do this. And I shared the word and everything. She said, about a nurse. She said, a nurse did what? She did. Oh, I can do that. So she closes the door, pulls the curtain around. I tell you what.
Jumped on the devil with both feet.
There was somebody else lifting up our arms. You see? Somebody else lifting up our arms. So, and unless you understand the love of God, you walk away defeated, accepting the negative, accepting the circumstances. That doesn't mean they may not be real. It just means that God says, I'm greater than that.
And relying on your own thoughts and your own ideas.
Right.
And did you know, if you haven't learned it by now, His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
Amen. Amen. And we stand, and we need, you know, hey, you know what? I know y'all are in agreement with us. That He has been redeemed from any destruction. He has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I tell you what, those doctors came in there, and I'd say, I want to tell y'all something. I said, y'all don't know us. But I said, we don't quit. I said, we fight. And I said, and they said, well, you've come through. I said, see there? I said, we don't quit. We don't give up. And we're fighters. I told the infectious disease doctor that. And and that's it. But God is good. He is faithful.
And now some of you have probably seen on Facebook where we said, I found my hallelujah.
That Friday morning when Jerry started letting the Word of God, letting the Spirit of God minister to him, and he was the light back in his eyes, the hope was back. I looked at him and I said, Jerry, I think you found your hallelujah. You know what it says? What do we do in the midst of a storm? We praise Him. In the midst of a storm, what do? We lift up the name of Jesus.
Now, the peg that I found my hallelujah hangs on came from a commercial for, I think it's Norwegian Cruise Line. I don't know if you've seen that commercial where that couple sitting by the
hallelujah.
Pool. And it's so wonderful. They're on the ship and they're out. And they said, we found our hallelujah. And that just stuck in my head. And did you know every situation that you go into, I'm close. Every circumstance and every situation that we go into and through and out the other side, just like Sister Shirley said last Sunday I was here, whenever that was, that we're going in, that our whole life consists of we're going into a situation, we're in a situation, we're coming out of a situation, we've got victory over the situation. And in the midst of all that, the Lord spoke to me in this. He said, you got to find your hallelujah. You know what a hallelujah means, don't you? 1,000 praises to God. And did you know I looked at the translations and all of your typical translations, the word hallelujah does not appear in any of them. The closest thing to it is hallelujah. Or praise the Lord. But in that situation, whatever you're in, somewhere in there, there's a hallelujah. And that hallelujah is what's going to get you through. And the first thing you see may not be the hallelujah. You may have to look at a bunch of junk before you get to the hallelujah. You may have to, you got to pick it. What am I going to accept? Am I going to accept this report? You know, whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. When you believe the report of the Lord, you found your hallelujah. And I want to read some scripture, and I'm not going to say anything else except just remember, in everything you go through, there is a hallelujah, and you got to find it. And sometimes you won't get any help. People around you won't help you find it. Devil certainly won't help you find it. But if you just keep pressing on, I am convinced that He is able to keep me against that day. And I'm going to read three chapters. You don't have to follow, and I'm going to read them fast, and I'm not going to preach on them. I'm just going to read them. And it's Psalm 148, 149, and 150. Here. Now I'll get this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts, his armies. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars and light. Praise him, highest heavens and the waters above the earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree and will not, which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. Sea monsters and all deeps, lightning and hail, snow and fog, stormy wind, fulfilling his orders. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged birds, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted and supreme. His glory and majesty are above earth and heaven. He has lifted up a horn for his people, given them strength, prosperity, dignity, and preeminence. Praise for all his godly ones, for the people of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's 148. Notice it ended in the Amplified Version. The hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and praise him in the congregation of his godly ones, believers. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let Zion's children rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with the tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the godly ones exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths and throats and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is the honor of all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to the abundance of his greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and flute. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with loud cymbals. Let everything that has breath and every breath of life praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's good to be back.
That's it. We can go home now.
Amen. Amen.
Now y'all understand why I didn't want to say anything more than what I did, right? You know, it's hard when you sit and watch a man go through what he's been through and then the doctor come in and put that big negative sign up over his head and it goes flashing. It's an awful position to be in. You know, and then it's awful when you look over at their kids and they don't know what to do. Even though they've been taught the word all their life, we're human. And doubt will move in. Fear will move in. But God, once again, amen, but God, it's just all you can say. You know, it's awesome. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, the God I serve is an awesome God. The God I serve is a healing God. The God I serve is a loving God. The God I serve is a passionate God. The God I serve is an embracing God. Yeah, he's all of the above, amen? Well, he is. That's the truth. That's what Jerry Clower would have said. That's the truth. He sure would have. But remember this. I don't care what position of authority you hold when it comes to preaching or teaching or whatever you may want to tie a handle to. You still need the word yourself, no matter how much you teach others. There comes a point in your life to where you have to stand up and take a hold of what you're preaching out to other people. You have to, because when it all comes down, anybody in the position of authority is going to be judged a lot harder than the ones that are trying to learn. That's the truth, too. So the devil is here to kill, steal, and destroy. He's here to take our thunder from us. That's what it is. Even though no matter what we do, no matter how hard we work to get there, that ain't going to get us into heaven. Our faith and our belief is what does it. Amen. But anyway, I didn't come to preach because, you know, Gerald ain't rubbed off on me none yet. He's working on it. He's working on it. But the God I serve is an awesome God. And there are times in life, the word, that doubt and fear will move in. But God's grace has covered it all. Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's stand and worship the Lord. Amen.
Before we do that, last week at Encounter, all this was going on with Grandpa, and I hadn't been going to Encounter for a while just because it's been busy, and I've been busy, and I went last week just, Mom, she was going to Lexington, and she needed her stuff, so I had to bring it to her in Campbellsville, and I was like, well, I'm going to go to Encounter, just randomly. So I went, and they did this song, Raise a Hallelujah. And it says, I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm louder and louder. You're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. And that whole time, Grandpa was in the hospital, like that song, like I knew it. And it was just kept playing over and over and over. And the last time he died, what's that song that we do?
Same Power.
That song was in my head the whole time. And I was just like, that's crazy. Because when we feel down, there's always going to be something there that just keeps your spirit up. And so whenever they posted that, I was like, that's the song. That's y'all's song now.
You'll learn it.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah. Raise a hallelujah. That's right. That's what we're getting ready to do this morning. Amen, brother. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You can start, Kenzie. I want to share something else with y'all. Last night, my daughter came in the house. This is Mercedes. She came in. And they were out having fun, enjoying herself. And some of her friends were at a place eating, and their conversation come to the Bible. I didn't say nothing, but when she got to certain spots, I was smiling because it's awesome what you learn here. But anyway, my kid come in and said, Mom, you'd ought to just check out this conversation we had. And so she got to the point where it brought up the Bible. And she made a comment. She said, you know, I told those guys that grace covers it all. She said, if you believe in certain things, and there are certain parts that you don't believe in, let me give you an example. They didn't believe in the authority of grace. And my daughter, she stood up and she explained to some kids about grace. I won't go into detail. That made me proud. That made me very proud. What we learn in here is awesome, people. And, you know, it's not filled with anything but the truth. This is something that we can take out there and we can share with people and know that we're doing it correctly. Amen? Our God is awesome. And our God is in control. And that's why I like the fact that the pastors of this church are led by God, and they are awesome, amen, because they allow the word to work through them, amen. Anyway, my in-laws are awesome. Chris and Doyle knew about them before I ever come into the picture. Y'all know my story. It took me a while to get there, but I finally arrived. I do know. Yes, sir.
Cardo just brought it up, and I woke up this morning with this thought, and I thought I was going to wait, but it just seems fitting if you're okay with it. So Ricardo, myself, Doyle's here with his beautiful bride here, Carol Lee. Doyle and myself and Scott, their son, formed this kind of trifecta of trouble.
Yes.
And I'll share a little more later, but Doyle and I are affectionately known as sons number 2 and 3. I don't know which is which, but we're here today because of the grace that Ricardo's... It's a tie for second, so all right. But we're here today because of that grace that Ricardo was talking about that we learned here. They prayed for us continuously, sowed into our life, and we were talking about what a difference just 30 minutes of their time made in my life and the direction that it went. I think about all the prayers that they prayed for us, for you, and why, you know, we got a lot to be thankful for. And this church is on a solid foundation because of the people that God had put in this place. And if you will allow us, I just really felt on my heart this morning that all the prayers that you prayed into us, some sons want to pray over you this morning. Scott wanted to be here this morning. Work kept him away. But Doyle, would you come up here with me? And Ricardo? Because how many know that God's been merciful to us? We're thankful that you're standing there in front of me this morning. And we just want to say we love you. And we want, I'm not going to add to it. I just know that God just said to bless you and pray for you. Amen. So, Father, this morning, we bless your name and we praise you for the mercy you've shown us in preserving life, in saving life, in giving life. This morning, we thank you for the spiritual prayers, spiritual gifts, spiritual powers that you have given to us through the laying on of hands, the prayers of the saints, the mothers and fathers that we have spiritually. And we thank you, Lord, for the difference that you've made in our lives because they care, because your love was seen in and through them. This morning, we give you thanks. Today, we speak life over this couple. We speak life into the spiritual mom and dad. We speak life into their marriage, into their family, into everything that they've touched. We praise you for their legacy. We praise you for their future. We praise you for living through them in such a mighty way that so many have looked at them and said, thank you for giving. Today, by our faith, by the grace of God on us, we turn back around once again and we say, be blessed. We bless you this morning. With the faith you've given, we give it back. And we thank you, Lord, for your healing power. We thank you for delivering from destruction. We thank you for the good report that's in your word that we speak over them now. We thank you that your word says in Psalm 107 that you sent your word and it healed us. Jesus came, the word of God, in the flesh. And now today, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We, the word of God in us, speak life, thanks, and blessing over you. Right now, we thank you for the ministry that is yet in their hearts, their voices, their lungs. We thank you, Lord, for the years being restored. And we praise you for fruitfulness beyond what they've already seen. Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I'm gonna see in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar.
I just wanna, just hold on there, give me. I wanna update the situation here. There's a three-way tie for second place. These two and this one. You know, son, you're more like a son to me than a son-in-law.
I'll raise a hallelujah.
See, it was God's grace. Yes, it was.
You know, yes, was. Carlos getting ready to lead, going to worship, lead the song, Come As You Are. And you know, with the anointing that, you know, whatever you've got, this song is You Come As You Are. God's grace is big enough to take you from where you are to bring you to where you need to be.
Of sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken heart, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are hopeless, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not so lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Hurt has no sorrow that heaven can cure. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, face, oh wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are. Heaven can heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. Lay down your heart, come as you are. Say, come as you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Grandpa, I got my hallelujah too. I got my hallelujah the morning when I walked in his room and he looked at me and he said, you know what, son? I said, what's that? He said, I think I'll live. I said, well, Dad, I think you'll live too.
Amen.
I will.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is good, y'all. That's all I can say. Hallelujah. I'm excited to have Mr. Chris here today. I've never got to hear him preach. It's always good to see Dole. Dole, I know there's at least two Louisville fans in here. Four now, I see.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to him and have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? God and one of us, lover of our souls, isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Eternal King, you reign forever, and we will sing the glory of your name. Be lifted high. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Chains are broken when it's spoken, every knee must bow. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Eternal King, you reign forever, and we will sing glory of your name. Be lifted high for all the world to see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need. Eternal King, you reign forever, and we will sing the glory of your name. Be lifted high for all the world to see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need.
There is freedom in the name. There is power in the name. There is healing in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. There is freedom in the name. There is healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. There is freedom in the name. There is healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus.
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? He is the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
You, Lord God, we just love you, Lord. We're just glad to be here today, Heavenly Father, so that,
amen,
you know our testimonies, Heavenly Father. You know them, Lord God. We just love you, Jesus. Can we get the ushers to come forth, please? It's time to take our offering up for this Sunday. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
You know, Lord, I thank you for redemption. I thank you, amen, that you hung on that cross for us, Heavenly Father. I thank you that you you came here and died so that, amen, grace would abound, Lord, amen, God. And I just thank, amen, you for that. Lord, amen, Lord God, I ask you to please bless the tithes and offerings this, amen, Sunday. Bless the givers of this church, Lord God. Bless the people, Lord God, that go behind the scenes and clean up the messes and take care of this building and everything that goes along with keeping this functional and operational, Lord. I thank you for blessing them mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Oh, you can hear it, can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can't lose it. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
When the valleys that I wander turn to mountains that I can't climb. Oh, you are with me, you never leave me. Cause there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
I've got that old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Oh, 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 oh.
Come on, church, come on. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel because it's all you. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat. It's all you'll ever need. It's all you'll ever need. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
joy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
The God I love is awesome. And it took me so long to figure out that he loved me more than I could ever love him. Ain't that something? That's the truth, sister. That's exactly right. I would take the time right now and bring something to you guys' attention. The acting pastor that we have here now, she's awesome.
Amen. Amen.
She's awesome.
Amen.
Bottom line, another fine example of what good tutorship, fellowship, and leadership will do for you.
Amen.
So I'm going to encourage you guys to go out and tell somebody, well, you know, we have a pastor here at this church, here at New Life Christian Fellowship. You need to come and hear her.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Need to come in here and just, Amen. You know, just one time. Come here and sit down and listen to what this lady has to say.
Amen.
Bottom line.
Amen.
But I do too. Oh, I Amen. Do too. Because I do it often. You know, hey, we got this lady at the church. You know, sometimes we have to roll the paint back on the wall on Sunday.
Come on. Come on.
Taking all jokes to the side, I do love to hear Sister Shirley preach. Because it's all good. It's all Amen. Real. It's all truth.
Amen.
Ain't no shortcuts.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? There's no agenda but teaching you the word and the love of God. Amen. Amen. We need to tell people about her.
You know, Carter, I'm glad you're doing this song because I want to share with everybody that when you get your hope restored and you get your word from God, you activate it with your mouth.
That's right.
And you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Amen? Amen.
You know, me and Jan, we was standing, Jan Morton, we was standing in the hallway after we got this report. And so she looked at me, spoke. I said, Jan, I said, did you hear? She said, yeah, I heard. She said, but guess what? I said, what's that? She said, it ain't nothing. I said, oh, I know. I said, he's got another testimony to go tell. I said, just wait and see. So anyway, the next morning, we was in the hospital there, and they come in, and they changed everything. it was so cool. They come in, and everything that they first diagnosed had just turned right over. So I pull my little phone out and I text Jan, LOLOL, it ain't nothing. Hey, you wasn't there, you didn't see, but I was. There was a lot of concern. There was a lot of fear. There was some doubt. But God,
Amen.
But God, again, Amen. He showed how mighty he really is. Amen? Okay, come on, kid. Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love. Hallelujah, Dad. Destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. And he never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority. Victory is yours.
awesome and great is your name. You overcame.
Power in hand, speaking the Father's plan, sending us out, light in this broken land. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all our praise. You overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name.
Overcame.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. We will of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome
by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome.
Yeah. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome.
Yeah. Savior, worthy of honor and glory. Awesome and great is your name.
Jesus,
you overcame.
Lord, we just praise you, Almighty God. Thank you, Father God, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Father God, that there's nothing the blood can't cover. There's no, the power is in the blood. Amen. We thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so kind to me.
And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, please deny, deny. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of
was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. Been so, so kind to me.
And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Come on, church.
There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no you won't kick down, lie, you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie, you won't.
Lord was saying, I got one down. I got one down. Where is he? Come on, we got to go. We got to go get him. We got to go kick those walls down. They're telling him lies. We've got to go tear those lies down, church. And you've got to feel that way. That's the grace of God. If you walk out of here with anything today, you've got to understand that there's nothing our God won't do for you. He loves you so much. He'll kick down the walls. He'll tear down the lies because of who you are. Because of who you are, you're His. Glory to God.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Coming after me.
Oh, there's no wall you won't kick down, life will tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Praise you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for coming after us, Father God. Thank you for coming after me. Thank you for coming after all of us, Lord.
Lord God, we just thank you. We praise you today, Lord God, for your greatness and the glory that you have poured out upon us. That you give us your spirit, Lord God. That you have provided us with everything that we need for life and godliness. And everything we receive from you. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. You don't change, Lord God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can trust you, Lord God, with everything that we have and everything that we are. We thank you, Lord God, that your power is flowing this morning and your presence here with us as we have gathered together in your name. We glorify you, Lord God, and we thank you and we praise you. You are a magnificent God. I pray, Lord God, for those that are absent this morning, maybe for some physical problem, maybe whatever the situation is, Lord God, just lift them up and strengthen them. Those that are traveling, be with them, Lord God, as they go where they need to go and do what they need to do. We thank you, Lord God, for that. Thank you, Lord God, that we can trust you in everything, for you are our King. You are our Lord. That reckless love, God, you gave that love saying, here it is. I'm willing to pour it out on you. I'm willing to pour it out on you if you even just stomp it in the dirt. That love is still there. All you got to do is pick it up. And I thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for blessing our nation. Thank you, Lord God, in these times when there's conflict and friction and the hatred flowing around, Lord God. That your spirit rise up and prevail. And you, Lord God, will lead and guide us into truth. We may stand in the truth, Lord God, of your word, and know that we are walking in the blessings of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord God, for being with each one this morning. I speak healing to anybody here this morning needs healing. I thank you, Lord God, for in with those here that wanted and may be facing financial situations, because you said you'd never let us down, you'd never leave us, you'd never forsake us. I will not. And we trust you, Lord God, for that. Give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the, where did Laverne take off to? She got, she get her kids? Okay. Yes, thank you, praise and worship. Whew! I feel good. I knew that I would. And it's my privilege at this time to introduce to you a young man that is so much a part of our life. And you know, all of it just came around. How coincidental. Y'all believe in coincidences? I believe in God-planned activities, in God-planned encounters. And years ago, the United Methodist Church saw fit to send Doug Wilcoxon to Columbia. And we moved to Columbia. And Scott and Chris and Doyle and a whole bunch of others all ended up in school together. And through the years, the ones that I've been able to keep track of, I've lost track of some of them. I don't know where some of them are even are now, but the ones that I know about have all done well. They've all done well. And at one point or the other in all of their lives, the ones that have, and the ones that were closest, we saw them give their hearts to the Lord. And Brother Chris over here, I can call him Brother Chris now. He's got some age on him. They all decided that they, when they were at the funeral yesterday and talking to one another, they all decided that they looked like we looked when we were there, when they were in high school. We grow older. But 17 years ago, well, in 1993, standing in our living room with the World Harvest Breakthrough broadcast on, advertising the Bible school, Laverne asked Chris, what are you going to do with your life? And he looked at her and just kind of matter-of-factly said, I'd like to go there. She encouraged him. Scott, I don't know if he was right there then, but I think in a little bit he came in and he said, if you go, I'll go with you. He said, I'll go up there and I'll spend a year working and become a Ohio citizen, and then I'll go to Ohio State and finish up. Well, by the time we got up there, that, you remember that 24-hour trip with you and your dad and me and Scott? Man, God did so much in that 24 hours, it was awesome and incredible. And so we went up there to look, to talk, to inquire. When we left the next day, about 24 hours later, they were both enrolled in school, they had an apartment, and they both had jobs. And just to be honest, Chris's dad was just, he was reeling. He was blown away. It's like, you know, good man. Preached a revival for him down in Morgantown when he was down there. God showed up in that little Methodist church. There was a little Methodist lady. She was probably 75. She got out in the aisle. There were some of those younger Methodists sitting in those pews. She was back behind them. All at once, she went, woo! And I noticed all those younger ones, they just kind of, what in the world was that? And then she said out loud for everybody to hear, I haven't felt the Spirit of God in this church sitting like this in many, many, many years. And And I didn't even preach the heavy stuff. I was using a handgun. I didn't even have my automatic weapons out. Because I knew that if I got them off on the wrong track, they'd just shut down on me. And we had an awesome time. And he lived with us for a semester when he was going to Lindsey Wilson. And so a lot of other stories I could tell, but I'm going to let you come on. Chris Wilcoxon from Pierce, Kentucky. How many of you know where Pierce is? A few of you. Now in Brunswick, or what's the actual place? Brunswick? Close to Brunswick. Okay. So you going to use this? I don't care. Sure. It's your turn.
I'm already feeling emotional, so I want a microphone I can get away from, you know. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Did you just say this with me? Say, God is good.
God is good.
His word is true. And it works in my life. And thank God it works in Pastor Jerry's life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Shirley, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to minister here today. Thank you for what you're doing here. It's kind of like you got the trifecta here going as well. Praise God. And what a wonderful worship service. We're just glad. I'm glad to be here. It's been an emotional weekend. We were here down with Doyle, his mom passing away this past week, reuniting with friends and then family. And so years ago, my dad passed away in 2009. I preached a sermon on the power of being there. And this morning, that sermon applies to the Relaffords as much as to anybody. There's so much power in being there. It doesn't take a lot. We've got a lot of history, but at the same time, I can go back to little blocks of time where they spoke into my life, gave me an opportunity to dream bigger than I was dreaming, see the world as a bigger box than what I had made it to be. And with them, I thank God for the grace of God. I thank God for all that he poured out through people. We need people. There's a lot of things that God wants to give you directly, but there's so much that God wants to give you through others. We're a body, amen? We're a body. And so I just thank you all for being there. Thank you for this place. It was the other sanctuary, but I can go right in there to the exact spot. X marks the spot where God just messed my world up. Just absolutely messed my world up. And it was kind of an all-week thing. But I'm not going to get into that this morning. Lester Summerall once said that you're really a blessed person if you have two really good friends you keep through your life. And I can't explain it, but I have way more than that. Dole's over here, Ricardo, the Relaffords, Scott. It was 27 years ago that Scott and I went to Columbus, went to Bible college. I never made it back. Scott didn't either. But our hearts are still here. This is home. And so it's good to be home. I couldn't understand, you know, what I wanted to share this morning just seemed so, I don't know, elementary to me. But then we got here and the testimony that was shared and then this worship service, and I realized Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. Amen? And, the root, if you study out the word testimony, I found out that there's a meaning in there that says do it again. And you think, if the devil, well, the Bible does say that if the devil understood what he was doing to Jesus, he would never have done it. And it's like he's digging his own grave by messing with you. Every testimony he gives is just God, do it again. Amen? God, do it again. So, you know, like Ricardo was saying when they were talking out here, I think he said, you know, it's just like, okay, do it again. Amen. This morning, I want to invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 5. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, but I do believe that by the Holy Spirit, we can encourage one another here this morning. And I want to share this with you. I want to start out in verse 6. It's all good, but, you know, verse 5 says that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. How many of you know there's a difference between human love and God love? And you know when you just receive God love from God through someone. I've never questioned the love that this couple has for me, and I've never lost the gratitude for it. I know why I am where I am. In verse 6, the Bible says these words, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates," everybody say demonstrates, "His own love towards us," say me. Y'all going to have to help me, okay? I don't know how to preach by myself. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God demonstrates his love for us by dying for us. That's how he showed love. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, God's walking with them in the cool of the day. This is a daily occurrence, you understand. Some people call it, I think, paradise, right? It's hard to imagine it gets any better than that. This is before the fall. It's a nice spot. The sweet spot. You got it? And so in this sweet spot with God, we find the serpent come in, and he begins to taunt with Eve and show her a tree that God, one thing in the garden, God said, don't look, don't touch, right? Don't eat of. And he begins to question her, calls her to question the word of God. And in questioning the word of God, he gets her to turn her eyes away from the word of God and look at something forbidden. Now, here's my point this morning. Within that context, we find that the devil was able to cause Eve to question things that God had already given her. One, love. Two, he made it sound like God was holding out on Eve and Adam. It's amazing what the devil can deceive you of when you begin to look away or allow yourself to look away from the Word of God. Now, this is paradise. And I got news for you. If the devil can cause deception to come into that place, he probably could do it at New Life. He probably could do it in Columbia, Kentucky, Campbellsville, Kentucky. He probably could do it anywhere. There has to be something within us. You know, just in the testimony we heard this morning, and even the truthfulness of that the impact of it on the morning that he heard the words, you know, there's something there. And the possible bad report. It's easy, and we've all done it, and we'll all probably do it again. That's not my point this morning. I'm talking about a remedy. But if we look around to our circumstances to try to prove the love of God, we will not end up in faith. If we try to look at, what you know, am I tall enough? Am I short enough? Am I thin enough? Am I pretty enough? Am I rich enough? Am I, you know, why is this happening to me? What's going on around me? Look at the economy. Look at the politics. Look at this. Look at that. And every time we try to point at something, and then we end up questioning, don't we? We end up questioning the love of God. We end up, is this what love looks like? Where is God in this situation? What's going on in my life? And as we begin, if we allow the circumstance, you know, the Bible says to walk by faith and not by sight. There's a reason it says that. You know, faith is something that we have to intentionally look at. Because it's not obvious, right? The obvious things want to be there. They're there intentionally, even sometimes offensively. To get you to look away from the very thing that will give you life, give you faith, give you power, so that you will be stripped of it and have the devil come in and, as one preacher says, eat your lunch and pop the bag in your face. One thing, one place only, can we be assured that God loves us. There's only one. Now, there's outcroppings of that, but there's one place that we can always go to, one place that we can always look, one place that will always say the same thing, I love you, and that is the cross. When we turn our eyes to the cross and we see the outstretched arms of Jesus saying, I love you this much, it no longer becomes a fact of history. It becomes a fact of today. It becomes an outflow from that point where no longer am I having to, no longer am I judging or trying to receive faith. How many know that if, as I look around, it's not just what I see around me, but even what I sometimes see in me, in the sense of thoughts that are trying to betray me, actions that have just said, you're not what the Bible says you are. You're not who God says you are. God says you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Did you just see what I did? Did you just hear what I thought? There is nowhere else that we can look and be assured that God loves us. But the cross, once and for all, has proven and demonstrated the love of God, that God forever loves us. There is always a place to come home to. There's always a place to know that no matter what circumstance I go into, no matter what doctor's report, no matter what financial report, no matter what family report or relationship report, I'm not going into that alone. I am loved. The spirit of adoption's on me. I belong. I have a God who loves me, and this does not get to define me. This circumstance does not get to define me. It does not get to have the last laugh. It doesn't get to have the last word. Jesus has spoken. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the Alpha, the Omega, and where my faith is concerned, He is the one who authored it, and He's the one who will finish it. This is, you almost want to embellish it in a sense because it seems so simple. But a literal, you remember in Numbers, the Bible speaks of the Israelites getting snake bit. What was the answer to the snake bite? What was the answer to death? What was the answer to being separated from the life of God? It was look at the standard on the pole, the representation of Jesus on the cross. Look at it, and as they looked, the Bible says they were healed. Faith is not, you know, the Bible says faith is a fight. And when you're going through something, when somebody's looked at you and says, you're not enough, when somebody looks at you and says that you're never going to make it, it takes faith to look away from what you just heard, look away from what you're seeing, and look to the cross and know, my God is for me, so who could be against me? God loves me. I had to come to grips with that, to where I didn't have to make excuses for it. I didn't have to demonstrate some kind of wonderful holiness to show people that I deserve it. I got news for you. I don't. And I've proved it many times. It took me 2 years to ruin my life. I did it quick. It took God a month to put it back right. 1 month. I was in that sanctuary. I didn't think I deserved anything, but I was begging God for something. Amen. And God answered my cup prayer right there in that other sanctuary, about midway on this side of the sanctuary in there. And within a month, Scott and I are moving to Bible college. I'm telling you, it doesn't take God long. But we need to allow people like this, like your pastor here. You need to let people. You need to let the Word of God. You need to let those who come into your life, even if it's for a short season, God can change your world if you allow yourself to look at something other than the bad report, something other than how you feel. Come on, we all have feelings, and sometimes our feelings will betray us. You know, in the garden, we'll go back to the garden for a minute. After the story of Eve and Adam eating the apple, they fall. Death enters into the world. God, like He always did, notice that He comes back. He comes into the garden. He's looking for Adam and Eve. And where are they at? They're hiding. They're hiding in the garden. God knows where they are. He wants them to recognize what they're doing. He says, where are you? And so Adam rises up and he says, we realized we were naked and afraid, and we hid ourselves. What did God say? He said, who told you that? Who told you that? Come on, somebody. This morning when the devil tries to come in and whisper in your ear, you're not enough, you just say, who told you that? Ask yourself, who told you that? When you find yourself ready to believe a bad report, find yourself ready to believe the circumstances that are what they're trying to tell you, you need to ask yourself, who told you that? It wasn't God. Because the cross is still screaming, I love you. I'm for you. You're the apple of my eye. I am here for you. I am never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And if I'm for you, please tell me what or who can be against you. Another reason we need to look to the cross is because it's the only place that will give me and build my faith. When I look to myself, I get depressed. But when I look to God, I think, he used a donkey, I'm good. Romans chapter 8. We're looking at the cross, right? We turned our eyes towards the cross. We want a better report. We want to hear something better than what the world's trying to tell me. My family may be trying to tell me. Anybody. I don't know where you're at today, but I'll tell you, as we look to the cross, Romans 8 says, and here's the message of the cross, if God would not withhold his own son from us, why would he withhold any other good thing? Sometimes we can get deceived to believe that God has given us a lesser blessing and held out on the greater. We can get messed up to where we believe that the harder thing to believe for would be some of these physical manifestations around us. But please understand, God did not give us a lesser gift. He gave us all. You can't give any more than your whole self. If he would give you himself, all that Jesus is on the cross, you're going to have a hard time arguing why he would withhold any other good thing. This morning, it's about building faith. It's about being able to go from where I am to where God wants me. He's not going to withhold. We need to just look to the cross. This morning, the blood of Jesus forgives me. It cleanses all my sins and washes me clean. But we don't want to stop there, because there's another side to the cross, and it's resurrection. Because of the love of God, I can praise him that I'm forgiven and that my past doesn't matter in his eyes. But because of the cross, I can believe him for something greater, and that's new life. I messed it up. God's going to make it right. The mystery, sometimes we can get so natural-minded that we miss the mystery of the gospel. A mystery is something you don't explain it. Nobody here can explain the love of God. That's why we got to stare at it. This morning, the mystery of Christ in me, the hope of glory. The mystery, it's a verse I love. I love it, but I don't get it. I mean, fully, that I am crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, come on, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by that love. I have faith by that love. The introduction into that love has nothing to do with you. God loves you before you were born. God loved you before the foundations of the world. The Bible says he was crucified before the foundation. He had already decided you were worth it. I don't care what the world says. He says you're worth it. You're worth this much. And you're going to have a hard time finding something of more value than the Son of God. But you know what that thing is? Or at least equal is you. He gave it all. I'm going to close with this, but to put it in perspective, where because I constantly, as a preacher, I see people disqualifying themselves so much. But this morning, you know, back in Maine, we have a golden retriever. Huge thing of a dog. We love that dog. It's a great dog. Her name's Gracie. No last name. Never going to have a last name. As much as we love it, we're not going to give it an inheritance. It's never going to have the same standing as my natural born children. Not going to happen. Why? Well, it's not because it's a bad dog. And to be honest with you, it's not even because it's a good dog. It's just that little thing about it being a dog. So what are you getting at? The love of God came into your life through the cross of Christ so that old things could pass away and all things could become new. You're not qualified because you're good or because you're bad. It's because Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. He's come into the world to turn transfer old things from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to bring adoption to us as Gentiles to become the children of the Most High God. The spirit of adoption to where we were once a people who had no hope, we now are a people who belong and are children of the Most High God, who belong, who deserve, and who, as I would not withhold love from my children, God's not going to withhold it from us. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are new creatures in Christ. We're not dogs. I've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And it's not based, you may still feel like a dog. You may still, I'm not going to go there. But we... You're no longer identified by the old man, is what I'm getting at. You're not no longer identified by young man or old man or young woman or old. You're not defined by where you live or the car you drive or, you know, your spouse or anything or the lack thereof. You're identified by a value that you got to get comfortable with, which is the love of God through the cross of Christ. I want you to know this morning that in looking at the cross, there's hope. There's new life. And I'm thankful for all those who have given us and shown us what that love looks like. From pastors who lay their life down to demonstrate that love as well, they all just pointed us back to the real deal, Jesus himself. When I don't know what you're going through, I don't know what you've been looking at. But this morning, if you'll look to the cross and keep on looking, think about back in Numbers, when the word came to them, look to the standard on the pole, the Bible says they looked. It doesn't say how long they looked. It doesn't say how long they looked, but it says as they looked, they were healed. So today, put your eyes on Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the cares of life will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Come on. Turn your eyes towards Jesus and look. You say, how long? You'll know. It starts to well up right about here, and it starts moving its way up, and then it starts coming out your eyes, and it's going to start coming out your mouth in thanksgiving to God. Then your eyes are going to begin to see things different. Circumstances will change, and all of a sudden what seemed like such a big deal has now grown into a molehill. The mountain to the molehill. Because you just realize, my God's bigger. His love is greater. And he's done it before. And he'll do it again. You stand with me. I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Ricardo. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, thank you for family in the body of Christ. Thank you for home. Thank you for a foundation that we can run to and hear the words we need to hear week in and week out. Thank you for those places that have made such an enormous difference in our life. Thank you that you're always using either your word or people to let us know just how much you love us. Just like those nurses in the hospital last week. Just like you're faithful to us, Lord. Oh God, this morning I pray over this congregation that you would give us eyes that see and ears that hear, that we would never get so far down that we can't look to the cross. And may the power of the cross always overpower the naysayers, the bad report. This morning I speak life into this place, into every heart. Thanking you, Lord, for restoring. Thanking you, Lord, for lifting us up by your love. Thank you for carrying us in your arms. Thank you for proving your love once and for all by not withholding your son. So today, we say yes to your love. We say yes to the cross. We say yes to the new creature. We say yes to all that you have given. And we thank you, Lord, for your abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that's going to cause us to reign in life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. What a word. Thank you, brother. Amen. Don't forget to bless the man of God as you go out this morning. Amen. And I just speak over you again today to remind you that you're highly favored of God. Everything that you touch this week is blessed. You're blessed to be a blessing. And go and share that love of God with somebody this week. And remember, as I've always told you, if you could just ever begin to get a glimpse and get a revelation of that love of God, it's going to change your life. You're going to see yourself different and see everybody around you different. Amen. So remember that word today. Go back to the cross. And that's how much he loved you. Amen. Be blessed.